This is Dick Bonney, Richard Bonney.
Yeah.
In Union, Oregon, at his home on Monday, October 11th, 2004. Tell me where you were born and when.
I was born in Bellingham, Washington, in first day of April, 1915. Yeah.
Why were your parents there?
Well, Dad was working in a shingle mill at that time. And my mother was born there, or raised there. And then we moved to, we moved to Oregon City for a while, and then we moved to Bonneville, where the hatchery, there was just a hatchery there then, no dam. And it was 1919 we moved there, I think. And then Dad got a job with the state fish hatchery, or really the game commission, and they set him up here. He was foreman at the fish hatchery in Bonneville, and they set him up here to build this new hatchery up here, which is not there anymore. And
was he in charge of construction?
No, he was in general charge.
How do you think he learned about fish hatcheries?
Well, he'd been working in some fish, with fish in Washington State, some.
So it was on the job rather than in a school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he never went, hardly went to school. And then...
What do you remember about the choice of Union, Catherine Creek, I suppose it was, for the hatchery?
Yeah.
Do you know why it was chosen?
I was only 4 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I thought maybe you'd learned since then.
No, Rundle Brothers from Cove, three boys and their dad built the hatchery building.
Say that name again.
Rundle Brothers.
R-U-N-D-L-E?
D-E-L, I think. Several, something like
that.
D-A-L.
They were construction?
Yeah, they constructed the whole building. And Dad notified him in Portland that he was ready to be transferred because he'd finished his job, and they told him they hadn't found a replacement yet. It took him 17 years to find a replacement, and he finally got transferred. And it was a real interesting place to be raised, and we had millions of fish all the time, you know. And but eventually,
how old were you when? About what age do you remember seeing the fish come up the river?
Oh, about six.
About six.
Yeah.
And you say millions? I mean, was it really
full
in the spring?
No, I mean not in the hatchery.
Oh, in the hatchery.
The little fish.
I see. Yeah.
But the salmon run up this river must have been a thousand of them every year,
mm-hmm.
And. Of course, a lot of people tried to catch them, and they weren't fit to eat. They'd all shrunk down.
Tell me how they had gotten from the ocean to here.
They just migrated.
Well, I know, the route that they took.
Up the Columbia, and they wound up in the Grand Round and then at Catherine Creek.
Did they go to the Snake from the Columbia?
I don't know.
The Grand Round River doesn't run into the Columbia, does it?
No.
But it does run into the Snake, I think.
I guess they came up
the
Snake.
They must have come up the Snake.
Yeah, and then the Grand Round and then Catherine Creek.
That must have been 1,000 miles.
Oh, it was a long way.
Yeah.
They were about that big round when they got here.
About 6 inches?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They were big when they left the ocean.
Oh, you mean 6 inches around? They shrunk
in
the middle.
Yeah.
They were hungry.
Yeah, they were. See, they didn't eat when they spawned.
Yeah.
That's why they lost all that weight.
Where did the fish that came up Catherine Creek spawn?
In Catherine Creek.
At what point? Don't they go up farther?
Oh, yeah. They went clear up to the Catherine Creek Meadows.
Yeah.
I found spawning up there. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Indians came over from Pendleton on horseback and fished for them. Caught them, and they split them down the back, open them up, and lay them up on sagebrush, and let them dry.
Did you see them do that?
Oh, yeah. And then they... I had talked with some of them, and then when they got dry, they threw them in a gunny sack and take them back to Pendleton.
Yeah.
And that was their winter food, I guess. One old Indian, Well, this may be not of any interest to you, but his name was Willie Cayuse. And he, see, Dad worked for the Game Commission, and the Indians didn't always understand the laws that they got from them. So they'd stop and talk to my dad, and he could speak English, he could speak Chinook. And
how did you learn that?
He raised on the Warm Springs down there.
Oh.
Part of the time, his life. And
did he have any Indian blood, do you think?
No, I don't think so. He was just a Scotchman, I think. Anyway, well, one time the Indians was going back to Pendleton, and Willie Cayuse came down the Catherine Creek on horseback with his squaw. And he rode into our yard, and he got off his horse, talked to Dad a minute, and then he gave him the most beautiful little pouch you ever saw, made out of corn husk and velvet and deerskin, and absolutely beautiful.
Do you know what happened to it?
Yeah, and then he got it back on his horse, and Squaw said something to him. So he got off and came over and took two pennies out of the pouch, gave it back to Dad, and they left. That's quite a story. You know, I took that pouch down to Maryhill and gave it to the curator there, and we had two Indian baskets, and I took those there. And there, last time I went down there, the Apache basket, which is a berry basket, flat, they had it up on the wall with a light on it and my name on it.
Good.
Made me feel pretty good, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Why do you think they wanted to give him such a fine gift?
I don't know.
They must have liked him.
They must have.
Had he done anything to help them?
Well, he was their informational when they needed him. I've seen three or four of them come and sit on the hatchery porch or flat on the floor, sat there for half an hour, never say a word. Uh-huh. Then they start talking to Dad.
He must have been one of very few white men around here who spoke Chinook.
Oh, I know he was.
Maybe the only one.
Yeah. He tried to teach me, but I'm a little thick. I couldn't get it. And they'd go up the creek.
But this had been in the mid to late 1920s?
Yeah, mostly. Uh-huh. I think so. Maybe a little bit in the 30s. It's a long time ago. And they go up the creek and camp on Ed Miles' land where they put up their teepees and fish there a while. And then they just all pack up and go back to Pendleton, horseback.
How long do you think they would fish? How many days?
Oh, about sometimes a month. Yeah.
Was there no other place around in Union County where they could have fished for salmon?
Well, maybe they could have fished in the Grand Round.
I should think so.
I don't know what they did there. This, my memory is not too good because I was pretty young.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know,
I understand.
But I'm not making up anything. I'm trying to tell it right.
Do you think that the numbers of fish that were coming up each year to spawn had anything to do with placing the fish hatchery here?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know why they chose.
Would it have been closer to where they could gather eggs than some other place on any of the rivers here?
See, the hatchery Dad run was a trout hatchery. It wasn't salmon.
I see.
And
so there must have been some other reason that.
Yeah. But I don't know where they got. Well, I know they shipped the trout eggs in.
Oh.
He'd always get them off the truck. And they'd come in square crates, and they had little trays with eggs in them. And several trays in each tray.
Uh-huh.
And Dad would put them in the. He had what they call egg baskets. They're square tin metal baskets about that big. And they.
That's about 18 inches or 24 inches.
Yeah, something. And about that one.
A foot wide.
Yeah. And he just set them in a trough, and the water would run through. And that they would hatch. And that's the way he distributed millions of fish right around here.
Uh-huh.
Trout.
What can you tell me about how the fish hatchery looked right after he built it? Do you have a picture?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Someplace.
So you can't tell me anything about how the hatchery looked?
Well, it was just a common big building, and it had these, they went up Catherine Creek and cut the water in through a pipe down to the hatchery. And it had troughs every so often, and it had tanks every so often, and it had head troughs, and each trough had a spout to turn it off and on.
Did it look like fish hatcheries look these days?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
No, it was just a plain old-fashioned roof. It's still up there. If you want to go,
but the building is.
Yeah, the building is there. It's the highway shop now.
Oh.
But they cut all the front porch and everything off.
Okay. Were all the troughs undercover?
No, they were just in this big building.
Yeah, but undercover in the building, not outdoors?
Oh, no, they weren't outdoors.
I've seen fish hatcheries where the troughs were outside.
Yeah, no, they weren't there. And then we had several ponds that we put fish in, and Dad would seine them out of there and haul them up to some lake or some river.
Did he want to get you up there to help?
I don't think I'd be much help. I was pretty young. Oh, I did. I helped him some, but
then, well, you said maybe into the 30s, so we're getting, you're over 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Well, boys who are 10 years old can be a help.
If they want, if they want to, yeah.
Yes.
No, I helped my dad quite a bit, but I didn't do anything real hard work.
How many other men did he have there?
Well, he always had one, and sometimes two or three. He had the lawns to mow and all that stuff. And, yeah, sometimes he had two or three men in the busy season. In the wintertime, nobody, because he let all his fish go. Yeah.
Did he go on to another job, or did he retire from that one?
No, he went to another hatchery in the Canning, down out of Seaside. I don't know what, you know, it's on the river there.
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, it's gone now, I think. Oh. But he went to that one.
Did you move there too?
No. Well, I've had two brothers and two sisters. Well, my kid brother lived with him. And I went down and stayed there about a month, but my stepmother and I just didn't hitch. So I left.
And came back to Union?
No, I went down to pick hops, and I went down and picked up potatoes and Klamath Falls. And I finally got back up here. Yeah. I went to logging once there. And
earlier, I think you told me that you went to high school in Union.
Yeah.
So did you come back when you were at the beginning of high school years, like ninth grade?
Oh, I was out of high school. Yeah.
After he went to Seaside.
Yeah.
I
was gone then.
Now let's come back then to school years here in the Union. Did you enter the elementary school here?
Yeah, first grade.
And at that time, I think there were two schools in Union, weren't
yeah.
there?
Yeah. North School and South School.
North and South. Which one did you go to?
South School.
South. Why wouldn't you have gone to the north?
Well, it was out of my... See, I lived up Catherine Creek.
Ah,
and yes. This is in the South School territory.
Closer to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did those two schools look pretty much alike?
No. One of them was brick and plaster, and the other was wood.
Which one did you go to?
I went to plaster one.
The plaster one.
Yeah.
Was that a little more modern then?
Well, if you could call it so, I guess.
For its time.
Yeah, for its time, it probably was a modern school.
So you entered first grade there, I think you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, and went through eighth?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then went through high school.
And at that time, schools were conducted somewhat differently from the way they are now.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that the discipline was more strict.
Oh, boy.
And you might expect to have your hand slapped with a ruler or
your
bottom hit with a rubber hose. And
I had some of that.
You did?
We had a principal in that school. We called him Fat Connor. That was not very respectful, but that's what we called him. He was a big man. And boy, you didn't mess with him. He'd take a rubber hose and really lay it on you. I had it happen to me once, and I learned something.
So do you think as a result of that kind of treatment, kids develop more respect for the teachers and the administrators?
I think so.
Or was it fear?
Well, now, no, not really.
Or both?
Maybe both, yeah. Maybe both, yeah.
I suspect more fear than respect, though.
Well, yeah, you got a big guy that bellers at you all the time. That kind of puts a fear in you, all right.
Yes.
But he was a good teacher. What we learned from him, we were afraid not to, you know.
What do you remember as one of the subjects that where you felt you learned the most?
Mathematics, yeah.
And up through eighth grade, did that include some algebra, or was it all arithmetic?
No, we didn't do algebra until I got in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. All arithmetic?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Arithmetic.
Including fractions?
Oh, yeah.
Fractions are hard for a lot of people.
I know it. But that seemed to come to me kind of naturally.
Oh, it did.
But when I got in high school, I kind of lost it.
Do you remember arithmetic ever being taught with blocks of wood or anything concrete that would help you visualize numerical concepts?
No, I don't remember that.
Was it pretty much right out of the textbook?
Yeah.
You memorized the multiplication table,
yeah.
And
the adding and everything.
Drilled on columns of figures,
yeah.
Long division.
Yeah.
What else?
That was about the extent of it in grade school. I don't remember any algebra, but we got that when we got in high school. Geometry.
Did you take any of the state exams in eighth grade?
No.
They did that with them. They weren't doing that when you graduated.
Well, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I did. We did have an examination. I remember that.
It would have been in May, probably.
Yeah.
And they were not easy.
No. They might have. They probably were furnished by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a, what they call a school superintendent over the whole territory.
The county superintendent.
Yeah. And he used to come see us once in a while. He was a strict looking old guy, scare you to death. But he never bothered anybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What sorts of, let's say, pleasurable activities would you associate with the first eight grades of school?
Well, we just kind of made up games to be played out in the yard. The yard was full of boulders that big. No grass or anything. Just a boulder yard.
Hard to run on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we played. Well, he had one, I think somebody made it up, it's called Pum Pum Pull Away. And if you pull you off your side of, I can't tell you how. But anyway, that's one game I remember. And then we played lots of marbles. The kids don't even know what marbles are now.
Now you need sand for that.
Yep.
Or some kind of a hard surface.
Yeah, we dug holes in it.
Any organized activities at school that were, let's say, recreational or at least more entertaining than doing arithmetic problems?
Well, yeah, I think we used to play baseball. And Pat Connor was the referee, and he what he said goes.
Uh-huh.
And
that was baseball or softball?
Baseball, regular baseball, yeah. Sometimes it was an old, wore-out one, but we used it anyway.
Was that for recess or after school?
Probably recess, mostly. And sometimes before school or after school.
Did you have a team that played the other school?
No. No, we just played among ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like Little League then?
No. I never heard of Little League until a few years.
No, nobody did. But sometimes schools had teams and they played each other.
Oh, yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about the high school graduation? I mean, the eighth grade graduation.
I think we just got out of school.
Oh, yeah? No ceremony?
I don't recall one. There could have been one, but I don't recall. I know we graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. We had a ceremony, but mm-hmm. I can't remember anything.
Was there any music in the first eight grades?
Somebody would play a piano once in a while.
While you sang?
Well, yeah, I guess so. We had a couple of teachers. You see, they had 8 teachers, one for each grade.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of teachers who would play the piano. But other than that, I don't remember.
Were all these teachers women, except for Pat Connor?
I think, no, they had an 8th grade teacher that was in the high school, Billy, named Workman. And he was the only man teacher I knew of, except Pat Connor. And
how did the women dress at that time, the teachers?
Well, they dressed like they should.
Which is?
They didn't wear pants. Yeah. Never heard of that. They wore dresses and blouses or something. But as far as slacks and that, I never heard of that. They didn't do it. They probably wouldn't let them.
Yeah. Did the teachers ever smile?
Oh, yeah. Some of them were pretty smiley. I remember a couple of them was kind of crabby, but not too bad. We had a good school.
Do you think any of the teachers were married?
Yeah, Mrs. Vaden was, and Pat Connor was, and...
I mean the women.
Mrs. Reese, and that's the 1st grade, and Mrs. Vaden, that's the 6th grade, and Conley... That's all I can recall, being married.
At that time, Union was bigger than it is now.
No, smaller.
It had more businesses, I know.
Oh, yeah, it had a lot of businesses.
And kids came in from quite a distance.
Oh, yeah.
The farms and the fish hatchery. And
oh, yeah.
Did you know most of the other kids in the Union school?
Oh, yeah. I knew most of them. I didn't know much about the North school because they were an outlaw as far as we were concerned.
Did you have to go right back to the fish hatchery area after school, or were there other after-school activities that kept you in town?
No, I usually went right home. About a half a mile up the creek.
And if you didn't, how did you get there, by bus?
Wasn't no buses.
How did you get there? Walk?
Walk. Or Dad had to bring us or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the first school bus, Harry Avery had the first school bus. And he had a route from Pondosa to Union. That was his route. It's the only school bus that we ever had here then. And
why would it have come from Pondosa?
Oh, they had a lot of kids up there that come to this.
There was no school at Pondosa?
Well, there was a... Yeah, there was.
There was a school right near that lumber, or the mill area.
Yeah, there. I could... I
maybe that was for high school?
I don't know. I know it was a school, because I used to go up there to a turkey or a clam feed in the basement of it. Yeah,
I suspect that they went through the 8th grade and then they had to come to Union for high school.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Just the way kids from Tallahassee had to come to Union for high school.
Yeah. Rainbow Flat. You know where that is?
I don't think I've ever seen it, but people have told me where it is.
Yeah. They had a little schoolhouse up there. One-room school. Mm-hmm. And old Fat Connor wound up, that was his last job up there teaching school, that one-room school. Yeah.
At the time you were going to school in Union, there was a railroad, a Union Pacific Railroad, through here over in Piles Canyon.
Yeah.
Were you close enough to have anything at all to do with that?
Well,
seeing it or understanding about how it worked?
Well, I came in here on it. That's why we got here, from Bonneville. And the 5th of January, I think it was the 5th, and it was 5 below, or 5 above, and the wind blowing like hell, and snow that deep. And with my mother, she had 4.5 kids to look after.
She was pregnant.
And she was pregnant, yeah. And my dad was already here, and the most amazing thing, we lived, when we first got here, Dad couldn't find a place to rent. Nobody wanted to rent. So we lived in 2 rooms up over the D&D restaurant. And
the building that's there now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Al Turner run a pool hall downstairs. Yeah, I remember, and we had to eat in a Chinese restaurant someplace across town. across the street. And I remember all of us kids start to bawl every time we had to go to that restaurant. I don't know why.
Starting to bawl?
Bawl, yeah.
You didn't like it.
Didn't like it, I guess. And so Mrs. Turner, Al Turner, ran the pool. His wife came to see my mother one time, and she said, I'm sick of this, making these little kids bawl. So they had an old restaurant in the place, and the kitchen was all boarded up. So they went down there, and they nailed everything shut, and I could still smell the lye water they cleaned that old kitchen with, and we ate there for a while after that.
Did you have to go to the restaurant because there was no way to cook in your two-room apartment?
Just two bedrooms is all it was. And can you imagine that with all those kids and dad and mother?
No, it's hard to imagine.
But, you know, when we moved up to the hatchery, finally, the game commission shipped in a Aladdin house. It's a prefab called Aladdin, but it was all had to be put together. It wasn't reassembled like they do now. And Walt Stevens, I think it was, put it together for us. And at that time, there were five of us kids. And we had one bedroom, one living room, one kitchen, one small bathroom, and a screened-in back porch. And that's where we lived for two or three years. Yeah. I don't know how we did, but we did. Yeah. And then they built, and then, there's a little story about that. Some of the inspectors came up from Portland to look at the hatchery, inspect it, you know. And Mother told Dad, you tell them, oh, I'm going to cook dinner for them in this little house. And so she did, but she moved all the furniture a little ways out from the wall. Boy, it was tight going. But we had a good dinner there, and they appreciated it, and the next year they built her a new house.
Good.
I think that's the way she got it. They tore it down since, but...
What can you remember about what meals usually consisted of? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Well, breakfast was either hot cakes or mush, as we call it, cereal.
They didn't serve that at the Chinese restaurant?
No. That's after we lived up...
Oh, after you lived there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't remember it. All I remember is I didn't like that Chinese restaurant. I don't know why, but I didn't like it.
The mush and...
And sometimes biscuits or hotcakes or mush or biscuits. Once in a while, bacon and ham or something. And then the next meal was always taters and gravy and meat of some kind.
You mean lunch?
Lunch, yeah.
Not when you were going to school.
No, I took in lard pail to school. Mother always put it up for me.
What was in the lard pail?
Sandwiches, mm-hmm. Mostly.
Yeah, fruit?
Once in a while, an apple or something like that.
Stick of celery?
No.
No chips? No chocolate bar?
No, or nothing like that.
No can of chocolate milk?
No, just plain old food. And I think, I believe we took some milk in a can or jar or something.
Did you have a cow?
Oh, yeah. We had a good cow.
And did you have to milk it?
Nope. Dad milked it. Until we got a hired girl from up the creek, and he made her milk the cow, and he made breakfast while she milked the cow. That was Stella Edwardson. She was an old teacher up here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And... for supper, it was just about the same.
Taters and gravy
and fruit, lots of fruit, and milk, lots of milk, and that's about it.
Why no meat for dinner?
Well, we probably had meat. I just forgot about that.
Did you have a pig or some other source of your own meat?
Yeah, we had a pig. I know that. Maybe two pigs.
Butcher one each year?
Yeah. And then, we bought our meat at the butcher shop. Yeah.
Do you think that since your father was an employee of the game commission, his salary might have been a little higher than other people's around here?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. I I think he was making about $125 or $150 a month, you know.
Which could go quite a ways.
Yeah. That was a lot better than where I was during the Depression.
Now the Depression.
Yeah.
You were in high school then, weren't you?
Yep. I was in high school and, well, I was out of high school quite a while.
You said you were born in
1950.
Was there anything about high school that particularly interested you? Subjects, I mean.
Well, yes. As I remember, English, we called it English or language, was my favorite. I don't know how good I was at it, but that's my favorite, you know.
What appealed to you about that?
Well, we had a real good teacher.
That could be it.
Her name was Miss Shapper.
Miss what?
Shapper.
Shapper, S-H-A-P-P-E-R?
Yeah, Miss Shapper. She was here several years, and the kids didn't fool with her. She was a disciplinarian, but she was a good teacher. And I guess I didn't do too well in high school. I kind of got off the track when I got in high school.
Well, let's stick to English for a bit. Are you talking about the literature part or the writing part, the grammar part?
Well, maybe the writing part.
Uh-huh.
Literature, I guess you'd say, too.
Well, literature is mainly reading, but
yeah.
You can also write about what you've read.
Yeah. That was just kind of general with me.
Uh-huh.
I guess so, that's the way you'd say it.
Well, you said she was strict. What made her class seem appealing to you?
I really don't know. I just felt, but
you just left with good feelings about it.
Yeah, but she was not really strict. She was tolerant. But you didn't get her over to any foolishness.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah. Some teachers we did, but when you went to Miss Shapper's room, you'd mind your P's and Q's.
Can you remember anything you read?
No, not right at all. Old Lady of the Lake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was a standard.
Yes.
I don't know if I remembered any of it, but I read it. And I can't recall right off. Yeah, it's been a long time ago.
Yeah, sure. Did you find that you were having more and more difficulty with high school as you went through?
Yeah.
Is that the subjects got harder, or you just had less interest? What?
I was kind of rebellious, I believe.
You weren't alone in that, I imagine.
No. Oh, a lot of us were.
You got it from the other guys.
Well, I don't know. But you see, it seemed to me like when I went from grade school to high school, something kind of threw me. I didn't... Of course, I had three or four different teachers, which I wasn't used to. And I had a couple of men teachers that were pretty rough because I was a kind of rebellious, I guess. So high school... Well, I got through it.
Did you give any thought to the possibility of going to college?
Yeah, but it was impossible. Dad didn't have
money.
For money.
Well, what about the other kids in the high school? Were some of them talking about going to college?
Yeah, some of them went. But I don't... Well, let's see. Yeah, there were two or three of them. I think Burton Myers, I think, went. And Evan Halsey. That's the only two I can...
Was there any encouragement for kids of your age to consider going to college?
Well, they talked to us about it. we turned a deaf ear. I did. I didn't want to go to college.
What were they essentially saying? Why you should go to college or consider it?
I don't recall.
Did they say anything about getting a better job?
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing they always told me. But I wasn't interested. I guess I wanted to be a carpenter from day one.
All right, let's talk about your desire to be a carpenter. What might have brought on that desire or that interest?
Working with my hands. My head wasn't too good, but my hands were good. I built this first house. I built this. I moved in here in 55. And then I built several houses, and I built a lot of furniture and a lot of cabinets. That's one of my cabinets there in Egypt. I built a lot of stuff.
At the time, when you were just out of high school,
yeah.
How was it possible to learn carpentry skills?
Well, you just had to go to work with the carpenter.
Was that?
And that was pretty
easy to do?
No, it wasn't.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
How did you get your job as a carpenter?
I just went on my own and did it. And
well, I'm trying to get at how you learned how to do it, though.
Self-taught. You just had
it. Yeah. Have you been watching other people doing it?
Well, I suppose. Yeah, see, Dad hired a lot of carpenters when he built the hatchery.
Oh, yes.
And then every once in a while, he'd get a couple of carpenters to do something around that. And I always watched them.
Mm-hmm. Did you find you could hammer nails without hitting your thumb most of the time?
After practice. Yeah.
How about doing a straight line with a handsaw?
I could do that.
Because that's what you had to do.
Oh, yeah.
There were no machines.
No machines, no. Oh, yeah. And then when I went, well, I got married. No, I wasn't. At Newport on the coast. Walt Stevens took me down there to help his son build a building. I didn't know what to do, but that's the first carpenter job I had. And then I got married, and my wife worked in the post office. 26 years.
Had she grown up in Union?
No, she was toward North Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah. And I went out on my own. Somebody, well, the first house, this next house I built was for Merlin Langford, I think.
Let's come back to when you, right after you got married.
Yeah.
Did you come right away to Union?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you find a place to live?
We lived with Walt and Matt Stevens for a while, and then I found this little house next door. We lived there 9 years.
You mean, initially you and your wife moved in with two men?
No.
Was there a couple?
A couple, yeah.
So you had one room in their house?
Yeah.
Now, what kind of arrangement would that be for newlyweds?
Yeah, wasn't too neat, but that's the best we could do. But we must have lived there with them for a month, maybe something like that. And
were you earning some money by that time?
Not too much.
No.
But then we moved into this little house over here, and then I had a job. I'm working up here in a garage. But that wasn't my thing. I didn't like it.
You couldn't find any carpenter work, so you had to do something else.
Yeah.
And then did you work in grocery stores, too?
Oh, yeah. That was before I was married, before the war, yeah. I was so single, and I boarded down here with an old lady. And
at that time, when you were doing odd jobs, or when you were first married, there wasn't much money. What was your attitude generally toward everyday life? Cheerful? What?
I think so. I think I did pretty well.
What was there to be cheerful about?
Well, I was home where I belonged. Okay. You know. And it's a good country, and good people. I didn't have any trouble.
No reason to worry?
No. And Trudy, my wife, finally got a job in the post office. That helped a lot. But then that's about the time I started building things for people. And I had a pretty good reputation.
So that I guess that means that you were sort of an independent carpenter?
Yeah, absolutely.
You worked for a contractor?
No. I hired somebody once in a while to work for me for a little while. But no, I didn't work for a contractor. Well, yes, I did. I helped build the big Conley house when Ruddle Brothers, the same people that built the hatchery, was building that big house up in the valley. And I worked there for a while.
And where Maxine Conley lives now?
Yeah.
Maxine Conley Stewart.
Yeah, I worked on that for
a while. That's a big house.
That's a big house.
Yeah. Well, most of the time you were building smaller houses.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you get the plans?
Right there.
Were these houses built on speculation, or were they built for?
Built for somebody.
And did you ask them what they wanted? Or was it just living room, dining room, two bedrooms?
Yeah, that was it.
Kitchen.
I built Al Peters, you know him?
No.
Well, he used to be the banker here. I built his house. That was the last one. And I built Willard Weiss's house. He was a barber. And I built Merle Lankford's house and Ralph Titus's house and this house. And I don't remember anymore.
When you first started building houses, did they include indoor plumbing?
Oh, yeah.
Including a bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't have to deal with outhouses?
No. Nothing like that. No.
Where were you getting your materials?
From up here. The Oregon Trail Lumber Company made most of them.
What is now Bronson?
No, well, I bought a lot from Bronson. But the mill up here above Bronson, Hess Mill.
Oh, tell me about that. I don't know much about that.
Well, it was this guy that lived over here, G.I. Hess. He
S.S.?
H-E-S. Yeah. He owned a mill up here. And I worked there for a little while, and one time I didn't care for it. But
cutting lumber?
Yeah. I worked in the planer.
Oh, the planer.
Where we planed it, yeah. But it shut down and burned down. So.
Was that mill supplying lumber from many parts of Union County, or just Union?
They shipped the lumber out. All, that's what this little railroad did. Shipped lumber.
Tell me more about that railroad.
Well, we called that the Dinky. It had several different engines.
But they were all small?
No, it was standardized.
No. But why was it called the Dinky? Was it because it was such a short line?
I guess so. Yeah, just run up here and run back to...
It went from where to where?
From Union to the Junction. That was it. To the Union Pacific Junction.
That's over by Hot Lake.
No, right down here.
Right down here?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, when you're leaving town...
Going toward LeGrand?
Yeah. And where you start to turn, the road takes off, that's Miller Lane. And that takes you right down to where the junction was. And then the road goes on around and comes out of Hot Lake. Yeah, but then not the railroad. Didn't.
Well, now, why would that have been called Union Junction? Because it joined the Union Pacific Line?
I guess. I don't know why.
That's my misunderstanding. Is I thought the junction was closer to Hot Lake.
No.
Miller Road, did you say?
Yeah, Miller Lane.
Miller Lane.
I don't know what they call it. I call it that. Ed Miller lived on it.
At this end, where did it stop?
At the mill.
And the mill, again, was exactly where?
Well, you know where Bronson Lumber is?
Yes.
You just go right straight on up. You're going up Catherine Creek. It's up there a little ways on the right.
Okay. Wasn't there another mill near the agricultural station?
Yeah, experiment station, we call it.
Yeah.
It's right down there.
What mill was that?
No, that wasn't the mill. That was a agriculture.
I know, but I thought there was a mill near it.
Oh, yeah, that was right here. I was my neighbor. And
what was that called?
Ron Valley.
Ran Ron Valley?
Yeah, just Ron Valley.
Ron Valley?
Yeah.
How long do you think it was there?
Well, it's been gone for 5 or 6 years, and it was...
Did you build in the 1920s?
No, it was probably 1940, something like that. I'm just guessing.
So it might have operated for 50 years?
Probably more like 30 years, I think, yeah.
As far as you know, what kinds of lumber were these two, or trees, were these two mills using?
Larch, tamarack, red fir, pine, and some white fir. I think that's about it.
And how were they getting the logs out of the woods?
On trucks. Just load them on a truck and bring them out.
This was past the days of horses.
Yeah. Well, at first it was horses for this mill. Because it had horses.
The Hess mill, you mean?
Yeah. He had, the loggers all had horses then. Bert Shelton was the logger then, and
did they load the logs on wagons and have the horses pull the wagons?
Yeah, kind of. I guess you'd say that, yeah.
What do you think was the diameter of most of those trees?
Oh, big. Like that.
First growth? Old growth?
Oh, yeah. A lot of it was first growth.
Maybe
old growth, yeah.
2 feet? 3 feet? Diameter?
2 feet average, I suppose.
Those are big logs, too.
Boy, they are now. They look like that.
I know. They're a little
spindly
big.
Yeah.
But do you remember watching the wagon loads or with the horses bringing logs in?
Oh, a little. Some. Not too much. I knew what was going on, but
I just wondered if you'd actually witnessed the methods they used to handle these logs.
Yeah, well, they skidded them with horses, you know, and then they cross-hauled them to load them on a wagon.
Did you say skinned?
Skid.
Skid them.
Skidded, yeah.
That was out of the...
Where they fell and to the landing.
Brought them to a sort of a gathering place.
A landing, they called it, yeah.
And then they had some kind of a winch device to get them onto the wagons?
No, they cross-hauled most of them.
Cross-hauled?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, let's see. You put two skids up to the wagon.
Yes.
And the horses are on the other
at
side.
At an angle of what, maybe 30 degrees?
We're as flat as you can make it.
Yes.
Yeah.
10 degrees preferably.
And then they had the team on the other side of that wagon, and they'd hook onto this log and skid it right up and loaded.
So how did they attach the chain or the rope to the log?
Yeah. I don't remember. See, all the logging I did was on the coast, and we did it different.
Mm-hmm.
We had donkey engines and stuff like that. But they probably just put a loop on each end and drug it up there. Something like that. I don't really remember.
Yeah. Maybe, what, 10, 12, 15 logs on a wagon?
Would
that be a full load?
Well, the trucks, they went to trucks.
Yeah, I know.
The wagons, oh yeah, that'd be a big load.
Using that method, it could take almost all day to load a wagon.
Oh yeah, it's slow. But the interesting thing about it was that then they went to trucks. We call them log trucks. They look like pickups now. They all short logs. 16 foot was the maximum. That was all the logs that came out up there. Yeah.
Do you know how the logs were barked?
Barked?
Yeah. Removal of the bark.
No. We had slab wood, and that was the bark. They just take slab off on each side,
okay.
And
it was cut off. It wasn't scraped off by any other method.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Did the Hess mill, when you were near it, make a lot of noise?
Well, I lived about half a mile up above it. I never heard it. I could hear the whistle when they blow the new whistle, but I don't remember when this mill did. I was sure glad they moved that thing.
The sound of the saws?
Yeah, and the dirt and dust.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it would get so, the wind would blow dirt out of the yard till I couldn't see that house across the street. And so I'd have to leave town, go up the creek or something, wait for it till it cooled down.
Do you remember hearing about accidents in mills around here?
Not too much. I know one guy got killed up here. I can't remember his name. And I suppose there was some, but I don't recall. I just had one. I recall him, but he was a real nice young man.
What do you think a mill owner would have been done if a man were seriously injured on the job?
He did the best he could. He tried to get him to a hospital or something. You know. But
would he put out some money for his care?
Yeah, usually.
To help his family?
Yeah. Hess would. I don't know about this guy down here, but...
Did you know Mr. Hess?
Oh, I know him very well. He financed my house.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, tell me more about him, what kind of a man he was and what kind of business practices he had.
Well, he had the Oregon Trail garage and the cars, he sold cars, and he owned this mill, and he owned this house, of course, or his wife did, and he was a pretty sharp guy, but he, well, I knew him all my life, and my dad knew him because they used to fish together a lot of times, you know. And he was a nice fellow, but he was kind of, oh, what would you say? Well, when I built it, when I wanted to build a house, for instance, I was working for him at the garage up here. And I got thinking about this big vacant lot, and I was living right next to it. So I went in his office one day, and I said, Mr. Hess, I'd like to build a house on your lot down there. He just looked at me. But I said, you'd have to finance me to do it. And he sat there a little bit and he said, well, I'm going to Portland. When I get back, I'll be back Friday, and I want you to have a strict, good set of plans and specifications for a new house, and then I'll finance it. And he paid for it. Paid everything.
Who was to live in the house?
Me.
Just for you?
Yeah, just, I've always lived here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, why would he finance your house?
Well, his wife owned the lot.
Yes.
And the only reason I can think of it, he just, that would be a good thing to do for this guy. This guy, he's living in that old shack, which where we've been living 9 years, you know. It's been remodeled lately, but... And that's the only reason I could think of. He just thought, well, it'd be a good thing to do. I'll do that. So he paid all the bills.
You think that was common?
No, it wasn't. He wasn't that generous with most people. But he wasn't generous.
Giving you the money, you were to pay it back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he was your banker.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he charge interest?
No.
Huh?
No, he just told me how much it was, and we made a note of it, put it on a note. I paid it back a little over the years, you know.
But you'd never been his employee, had you?
Yeah, once or twice. I worked in his garage up here, and I worked in his planer mill, yeah.
He must have judged your character then.
Well, he probably did. I don't know.
Did you sign anything?
No, I don't think so.
Just a handshake?
Just a handshake.
Yeah. You were lucky.
Yeah, I was. And he never even came over and looked at the house after I got it done. He just told me, he told his bookkeeper how much to charge me a month, and that was it. I paid it all.
Did the land come with that volume?
Oh, yeah. Deal? Oh, yeah.
No. Your wife must have agreed then.
Yeah, she wanted a house here. I know that.
At that stage of your lives, and by this time, did you say you moved in here at 50 or 55?
55.
Yeah. But that's not very long ago. Maybe we could go back a little farther. I'd like to hear you talk about the social life and the business life in Union. The way people... You've already told me that Mr. Hess trusted you and didn't charge interest,
yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Compared to any kind of deal you'd get now. But tell me about how people seem to feel about one another? What kinds of business dealings they had with one another?
Well, there was a whole lot of business up and down Main Street. There was everything. There was everything from an old lady running the hat shop to his garage and the Union Hotel. It was a busy town. See, this is high main highway.
Oh, yes, Highway 30.
Yeah, and most people got till they had cars. Some of them still had buggies, but well, they seemed to be compatible. They got along good.
When you went into shop at a grocery store or a pharmacy, did you always pay right on the spot?
Sometimes. Sometimes charge it. Some people went credit. The fact that credit was what broke Mr. Haggerty. He gave too much credit.
He had a grocery?
Yeah, he had a grocery store. And he was a good old man, but he... people would come in there and he'd... talk to them, well, all right. Maybe he'd never see them again. You know, they just take it and be gone.
Took him for a sucker.
Yeah, sucker, yeah. So he didn't, he finally, I guess he, well, he went broke. He had to move out. And then the Weston School, Bill put his grocery store in there. And Ray Coles, the guy I worked for, he bought it.
C-O-L-E-S?
Yeah. Ray Coles, yeah. And then I went to work for, Carl Posey. I worked in his store too. All three of them.
Were you a cash register in these stores or stocking the shelves or
everything? You use everything then. Of course, we had to stock shelves a lot, but, and we run the cash register.
Were the first grocery stores that you knew about the kind where the customer would go up to the counter with a list and then the grocer would get each item individually? You didn't push a basket around?
No.
You didn't have a basket to carry around?
No. I had a basket when I worked for Carl Posey. His store is still there, and Mike Groceries was his store. And he finally got some little baskets and put them in a kind of a place there. And the thing I remember about those baskets, his boy was about 10 years old. He got in there and jumped on them baskets and broke them all to hell. That's how I remember the baskets.
He had trouble with his dad that night, I'll bet.
Well, I don't know. His dad didn't seem to have much control.
No.
His mother, ooh, that was different.
Well, tell me a little more about the shopping experience. You must have witnessed a lot of people coming in.
Well, a lot of farmers and people from Hondosa traded in the Union. Mm-hmm. And we had a good drugstore, still got it. And about four or five service stations, all of them pretty busy. And, of course, this is the main road. And, well, before I knew anything about this town, they had a woolen mill, four stories high, down this part of town. And old man Abe Eden owned it. And then they had a flour mill, about four stories high. It's all gone now.
Yes.
They tore everything down. And
were you in either of those buildings?
Well, I was in the old one after it was abandoned, the woolen mill.
Flour mill.
No, the woolen mill. And I worked in the flour mill a little while.
Do you know exactly what went on in the woolen mill?
No. It was all gone, and machinery and everything was down on it. I was just a little kid when it started. I went down there and looked at it.
I wanted you to tell me more about the shopping experience, say, in a grocery store.
Well, you had to be friendly. I know that.
And why?
Because you wanted to come back. If you weren't friendly, people had stayed away, you know.
Mm-hmm. What did being friendly mean at that time? What did you do?
Well, you watched your language, and you smiled a lot.
Yes.
and you helped people all you could. Carried groceries out. Just had to be a friendly place, that's all. And that was really it.
When you were working in a grocery store, still at the in the mode where you had to go get the groceries to bring them to the counter?
Oh, yeah.
So, did you have to go up on a ladder?
I don't remember that.
Some of the shelves were pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't remember having to get on a ladder.
How did you get the containers from the top shelves?
Just reach and get them.
You could reach.
Yeah.
You didn't have pole with a grabber thing on it?
No.
No. I remember that.
Yeah.
From when my mother was shopping. And did most people shop almost every day? So they didn't have a lot at each?
Yeah, but the main shopping day was Saturday. Oh. Yeah. The mill come in and all the farmers come in. Everybody come with a horse and buggy or horse and wagon, you know. Most of them.
What did you put their groceries in?
Well, we had the boxes that we bought the groceries in, cardboard boxes,
yes.
And put them in that. They used them for that, yeah.
No bags?
Well, yeah, we had sacks, but no big bags, no.
Did any of them bring bags or boxes to put the groceries in?
I suppose they did, yeah. Yeah, I suppose they did. Yeah.
Did your grocery store include a butcher area? Meat?
We also had a butcher shop. Mm-hmm. It's still up there. But now each grocery store has its own butcher shop.
Yes.
Like Mike's got one in the back. And when I worked for Carl or Ray Coles, well, they delivered meat from the butcher shop every day. So much hamburger, so much. And we had a meat case.
And so there wasn't much cutting going on in the store?
No, there is now in Mike's store because he's got a butcher. And he's got a real nice butcher shop in the back. But the other stores are mostly bought right out of the butcher shop, you know.
How much of the meat and the eggs and chickens maybe were local?
All the eggs were practically local. And some of the meat, but we always went to the butcher shop. And then they'd cut it up and sell it, you know. And the chickens, they were pretty much homegrown around here. Everybody had a chicken yard, you know. You used pretty much chickens.
Milk?
Milk, yeah. They had
a
creamery. They had two creameries, Blue Mountain and Union Co-op Creamery, and they run trucks in and picked up milk all over the county or the valley and haul it in there and make butter. And the Blue Mountain, run by an old man named Halsey, he hauled all his LeGrand.